Welcome to Refirement Life, the podcast for anyone navigating life transitions or planning to make life transitions to ensure your next years are your best years. Listen in for insightful, generous, and sometimes humorous conversation. It's time to get fired up with Christine Zamuda and Muge Wood, your hosts for this latest episode of Refirement Life.
Hello, hello. Welcome to episode 61. Today we're going to talk about living authentically in a world of approval traps. So welcome back to the Refirement Show. We're going to dive into this topic that is going to be a lot of fun to explore and think that it hits home for just about everyone. Before we get started, just would love our dear listeners, just take a moment, grab your cell phone, search for the Refirement Life podcast, which maybe you found today, and hit subscribe. We'd love to stay connected to you on all the new things we have coming. So the topic we're about to unpack is as follows. How do you know if you're living an authentic life? There's a little quiz that we'll do. It's fun. So have a piece of paper and pencil handy. What the heck is an approval trap and are you stuck in it? And what authenticity really means? We're going to dive more into that and reflect and maybe share some examples of people we believe are living an authentic life, touch upon different sort of contextual scenarios to make us really think about how we're showing up. And we're going to dive in. So, you know, Muge, what are you thinking about this topic before we go into the first segment?
Christine, I think it's a deep topic. And, you know, I read our outline, I reflected on it some. What I think is it is not black and white, and it's probably is a range, and it may evolve based on our life experiences, even our age. Our perspective can mature on this topic. Obviously, it makes a lot of sense. The more in line we are with our beliefs, values, the happier we can be. When we put that in the context of the social construct that we operate in, whether it's our community, jobs, family relationships, how to make that happen could be interesting to dive deep into, which we are going to do today. So I love it. I think it's a timeless topic, but I think it's also harder than it sounds.
Totally. Yeah. And I think for people who believe, you know, they show up consistently all the time, if you're really honest with yourself, if you think about different scenarios where you might be more comfortable and be more authentic, and then there's a new situation, right? Things can change. So let's get into it. One of the things that I thought about in terms of living an authentic life, and then also sort of, you know, the place where many of our listeners are in their, you know, third chapter midlife, you have this concept of a midlife crisis and, you know, people saying, well, you know, now I get to live my authentic life. Now I, you know, I'm driving a sports car. Now I'm doing this. Now I'm doing things that I've always wanted to do. And the reality is that, you know, only 10% of people actually have midlife crises, which I guess is a good thing. And when we talk about living authentically, you don't have to get to that midlife crisis point. And that's what we're going to dig into today. When people live more authentically, the Journal of Counseling Psychology reports that they have higher self-esteem, more life satisfaction, less anxiety and depression. So that all, you know, definitely makes sense. If we talk and think about ways where we may get caught up with others, with the way others think, we, you know, and this is driven by all kinds of pressure, right? It's social media. It may be family influence. It may be, you know, friends, maybe work, all of that. There are some people that, you know, I think public figures that live a little bit more authentically where we can get inspiration from. So I pulled a few of these just food for thought, and we can think about others. But, you know, Maya Angelou is someone who was very brave and courageous in her writing style and the things that she tackled from an author perspective. And one of her quotes is, if you're always trying to be normal, you will never know how amazing you can be. And I think that's something that, you know, if you're kind of like bringing yourself down to the average of what everyone is, you're not your authentic self. You're kind of losing your special sauce. Others here, Brené Brown, you know, did a lot of work and really, I think, sort of kicked down the door on vulnerability and being more authentic and talking publicly about shame, which is, wow, like that's a big topic that not a lot of people are going to gravitate and say, I'll talk about that. I'll talk about my own. But she kind of like led the pioneering, you know, sort of pioneered that kind of approach to being very open and being very authentic. And then someone who came to my mind was Diane Keaton. And I look at her as someone who is, very accomplished actress, of course, but has aged gracefully, has always had her own fashion style. And if you look at her in the 60s, she's pretty much dressing the same as she is in the 70s, the 80s, the 90s. And I just think that that's just an amazing example of confidence in a really high pressure visibility world of, you know, fashion and trends and all of that. So I have a lot of appreciation for her. And then the last one that came to mind is just Snoop Dogg. I mean, Snoop Dogg has been himself, you know, back in the 80s, the 90s, his personality hasn't changed very much. He's super smart about the business he's doing. But I think that kind of authenticity attracts good fortune, attracts success if you do that. Is there anyone, Muge, that comes to mind when you think of authenticity?
Yeah, absolutely. Such great examples. I think that makes us think deeply. As you are giving the examples, Christine, what made me think the cost of not being authentic is not being able to realize your full potential, not honoring your skills, gifts completely. And we all want to realize our full potential as much as possible. So there's a big dimension to it. For me, I think many of us think about that is Steve Jobs. And I think his famous statement, be yourself, everyone else is taken. Mm-hmm. And I just really love that. And it is so true. Each of us is unique. And being able to live that, practice that is just a big gift to ourselves and I think to the world. So that statement really rings true for me in terms of relating to the topic.
Totally. Yeah. I agree with that one. So we've got a little authenticity self-assessment quiz, and it's just 8 questions. And you're supposed to rate these on a scale of 1 to 5, 1 being strongly disagree and 5 being strongly agree. And I guess you can rate them anywhere in the middle if you're really going to be honest. So we're going to dive into this and let's take the quiz and let's see how we do. I have not taken this quiz, so I have no idea what the results will be. The first statement is, I express my true thoughts and feelings even when it's uncomfortable. Scale of 1 to 5. The next one is, I make decisions based on my values, not just what others expect. I feel at ease being myself in most situations. The next statement is, I don't feel the need to impress others to feel worthy. I'm okay with people disliking me if it means I'm staying true to myself. My work and relationships reflect who I truly am. I speak up when someone doesn't align with my beliefs. And I don't compare myself excessively to others. Excessively. So, yeah. So then I think we add them up real quickly and see how we did. I'll read the scores. Math is hard.
It is hard. Luckily, they are single digit.
Right. Exactly.
Okay, I added mine.
Okay. I think I had to double check mine because I think I had it wrong.
You ended up with 60.
Okay, yeah, I actually did that. I did add it wrong because I was like, wow, that's almost perfect. That's not right. Okay. All right, so scoring 35 to 40, you're living your truth like a pro. Scoring 25 to 34, some authenticity with room to grow. 15 to 24, struggles with external validation. But hey, awareness is the first step. And below 15, this is a starting point for self-discovery. And that's exciting. I really like how they're very positive with those ratings. So I got a, if I was honest, I got a 34. So I was at the top of the second one. Yeah, so I think that's probably accurate. And if you're, you know, thinking of different ways where you, you know, might not be your authentic self. You know, I always think about, well, like the first time I meet someone, right? Are you truly your 100% authentic self? You know, probably not, because there's a lot of layers. There's a lot of layers there. Let's just say that.
Yeah, that's right. So I got 31.
Okay.
So some authenticity with room to grow, which I think is accurate. And especially in the areas, I think as an example, friendships. I have some great friends who think differently from me politically. And they go on and on about their views politically. And I just don't say much because I just think it's not going to be helpful from a friendship perspective. But they go on and on about their political views that don't align with mine. So, situations like that. And then I still find myself making decisions sometimes based on others' expectations. That's still, I have an element of that. But overall, some room to grow. I am glad that some areas I am more authentic than I was in the past. So that's good. Especially in the area of saying no when I can, is being very liberating.
Yeah. I mean, time is the only thing we can't get back, right? And yes. We were chatting briefly before we started that it is getting easier to be more authentic as we get older, as we have more experience, as we really anchor in on what's important in life. So, yeah. So that was interesting. Hopefully you all as listeners learned something about yourself, and if we went too fast, you can certainly like rewind the podcast and take the quiz again. So let's talk about the approval trap and thinking about when are you in an approval trap. These are a couple signs to think about: overthinking every little thing, saying yes when you really mean no. If you have a fear of judgment that's holding you back from doing something that you think you really should be doing, feeling exhausted after trying to fit in. And there's certainly a cost that comes with living for approval. So you may feel anxiety, you may feel burnout, you may actually feel friction, right? Like, I'm not really showing up in the way I want to show up. Missed opportunities because you didn't say what was really on your mind. And, you know, the I guess the net of all of this is even when you get approval in these situations, it doesn't feel fulfilling because it's not your authentic self. Any kind of reflections on that, Muge?
Yeah, these are some really good ones. And the other thing that occurred to me, Christine, is effect of social media. Like, are we driven by the likes we get on Instagram, on Facebook, on these posts? And what does it do in terms of our behavior to get more likes on social media? So I think that's another dimension that probably wasn't there so much before. I listened to this podcast by author Chris Hayes, who recently released a book called Siren's Call. And it's talking about the attention deficit that we typically have these days, brought on by this deluge of information we get from all channels. And while we all seek a certain level of attention to survive, attention from family relationships, the other spectrum of it can be too much. You're just inundated by it. And I think just building a perspective that puts it in check becomes really important. And his main point was, you have to take breaks, like put away your phone, sign off social media, just really get centered around who you are, what you want to do, and make some real connections. So all of that to say, the approval trap can be really amplified based on our relationship with social media.
Totally, totally. Yeah, I connect with that in a big way. I've personally been trying to just read more books and not just read a chapter. I used to read like half a book in a sitting. And now I'm finding like it's much more difficult. I think our brains have been attuned to just these quick hits. And it's frightening. So that's something that I'm definitely doing more of in 2025. So if we get back to what authenticity really means, it's not about being radically honest 24/7, right? I mean, you could be your authentic self and really hurt someone's feelings. So we have to be careful about that. It is about aligning with your core values. And it is something that evolves over time. It's not just you show up one day and you're authentic. It's definitely a journey, and it's learning, and it's staying in tune with who you really are, the core of who you are.
Yep, that's right. That made me smile a bit, especially the radical honesty part. Mm-hmm. I think it is easy to think that saying everything on your mind, it being authentic, and that is luckily not the case. But I will say my mom really practiced this, like radical honesty, and it was funny at times how it turned out. So she, let's say a neighbor is visiting her and she would go, you know, you seem to have gained a lot of weight recently. What's going on with you?
Oh, no.
So, so that didn't go well. And then we're like, Mom, maybe you shouldn't like bring it out like that. And she would go, well, is it not true? I mean, I'm just trying to be helpful. That person,
she's very literal.
She should lose some weight. And next thing we know, that neighbor is not coming by very often. And my mom is like, what happened? I'm like, well, you're telling her she's getting fat and she doesn't want to hear that. I think not all truths need to be heard all the time is a good mantra to live by. But again, I think there's a balance, right? There's a balance. Not speaking the truth, it may infringe upon our beliefs and values and compromise how we live versus it's a truth. Like, does it have to be told all the time? And keeping it in check is probably a good, ruler.
Totally. Yeah. So to break free of sort of these approval traps, there's a couple of recommendations. First, you know, we talked about self-awareness, really understanding who you are at your core, writing these down and reflecting on some of your thoughts about what truly matters to you is helpful. And I think it's also helpful to go back in time and see who you were at different points in your life and how you've kind of evolved your thinking. Also, this idea of having courage, making choices that feel right, even when they're unpopular, And, you know, we always get, I think, inspiration from stories of people, whether you're doing something heroic when no one else would, or helping someone when no one else seemed to notice someone needed help. Like, those are all opportunities for us to live more authentically and do the right thing. And then another point here is, you know, having boundaries, saying no without guilt. I think it's easy to say no, but sometimes you're like, gosh, I feel like I should go. I feel like they want me to go. I don't want to go, but I'm going to say yes. No, you should just say no. Release yourself from that tax, because you'll be happier doing something that you, you know, are more aligned to doing. And I, you know, honestly, I wouldn't want anyone at my table who didn't want to be there and had something more pressing, right? Like, you really want people who are going to be there, engaged, you know, feeling like they're in their right place for whatever reason. You know, there's always competing priorities in life. Another tip is, you know, being vulnerable, sharing your truth, even if your voice shakes. Ooh, that's kind of a interesting comment there. And then lastly is community. Find the people who love you for you and not your highlight reel.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And I think our real us also can come during times of stress, times of a big challenge, which are not at times fun. But also being able to get through those times and grow out of them with the friends, family, relationships, community, what you do, I think it creates a real growth spurt. So you know, simple things make a big difference. I think a lot of times people are like, okay, you know, what are your career plans? What, you know, what do you want to do when you retire, right? We get these questions, or we ask this of others. And I think at the root of all of this is know yourself. Mm-hmm. It's a big thing. And knowing yourself and really coming to terms with that is not an easy thing. But when we are centered with that, I think the rest of it is a bit easier. Also, the notion of don't ever do what you don't want to do, I don't think it's going to really work 100% of the time either. And it may, but then it may have a high cost of ABC. So I think there's a bit of a balance, and some things are easier than others. Another example I'll give is I have a very good friend. She supports this cause for the homeless, and she asks for donations all the time to this cause. So, you know, we give in our friend circle, but she keeps asking and asking and asking. And in the end, we have to say no, because we have already given. We are supporting other causes. We can't just give every time she asks. Even with that, feel a twinge of guilt for saying no. And then we rationalize and say, we just can't do it every time.
Yeah.
So even things like that, sometimes you need to maybe think more how it makes sense, at least to you, to say no and be okay with it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And what's really important, is it going to matter 5 years from now? One of my things that I've been pretty authentic about is I hate baby showers. So I don't attend them. I don't. I send a gift. I send a like nice note, and I'm very happy for the mother, but I hate a baby shower. I hate the dumb games. I hate sitting there all day. I hate watching every single present being opened. It's just not my thing. You know, it's not my thing.
Christine, I'm not going to invite you to my baby shower.
I just think that we should all just make a rule. Like, here's the registry, buy it, use your time another way. But anyway, so I don't attend them. I know I will probably attend them for my godchildren. Like, I'll have to be there, and you know, but as a rule, I just send a very nice gift and a very nice note and wish folks well. And 5 years from now, is anybody going to remember I wasn't at their baby shower? No. No one cares.
Well, Well, that's the thing. I think sometimes I find myself doing it just this week. I think how we feel about what has happened, we can amplify it in our heads, and it becomes something what others think or what others said becomes bigger than it already is. I was on this call and I felt that the individual presenting was taking jabs at my work, at my team, and being a little passive aggressive about it. And I'm like, I don't like the tone of this. So I had a conversation with the individual after the call, and I was talking to my manager. I said, I didn't feel like that had the most constructive tone. And she's like, I didn't sense that. And she's like, honestly, I actually forgot about what was said. Can you remind me? So, in the meantime, I'm not just thinking about this and kind of upset. And in the meantime, people have already moved on. I think to your point, 5 years from now, sometimes not even 5 seconds, people just move on because there's so much going on in everyone's heads and lives. And they are not really thinking about you necessarily all the time, which is great.
And it was great that you had a conversation with that person offline, because maybe you learned something about their perspective. Maybe they learned something about how they could present in a different way. So, and that's why you're such a professional.
You're amazing.
You're amazing.
Right. My husband says I stress him out with my corporate life. So the other thing I try to put this in practice is my athletic endeavors. So, go to a Zumba class. Go to tennis drill, the things that I do. And I'm like, some of this will not go well. I know that. Like, it's not going to be perfection. I will face left when others are facing right. The ball will just take a weird trajectory and even cross into the other court. But you know what? People are really worried about themselves. Like, no one is really standing there watching you. So that's a nice reminder.
Do your thing. Just do it. Yeah. So I guess to wrap it up, hopefully what we're leaving our listeners with is, authenticity is more about alignment. It's not perfection. You know, I think just being in tune with how you feel and your core values will help guide you to be more authentic. We did touch upon the fact that this requires courage, but can certainly be very freeing when you are living your authentic self. And if we want to just, leave listeners with the thought of, what's one small step that you can take to live more authentically? Maybe it's speaking up when you feel like you should and choose those scenarios wisely, setting a new boundary, or just wearing something that makes you feel good.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I think just asking the question, right, does this bring me joy? Making that our compass. And I think I mentioned in a prior podcast how, our kids are also role models because they have a perspective, both generational and age and everything else. And I just really love how our younger son immediately categorizes something fun, unfun. So if it is unfun, do I have to do it? Sometimes you do.
Right.
Maybe it is going to your medical checkup. I mean, it is kind of unfun, but it is super important and helpful. But if you have a choice with the fun and the unfun, do the fun part. And I think it creates a nice balance, too, to sort of make up a bit for the unfun parts we may have to end up doing, because we still have expectations. We still may want to conform. At some point, it could be a family outing, whatever it is. So just make sure there is fun and joy.
Totally. Yeah. And the last quote to leave you with is something from Brené Brown. She says, authenticity is the daily practice of letting go of who we think we're supposed to be and embracing who we are.
I think practice is very important. the practice part. You know, just we are constantly practicing. I think it is hard to think we have arrived and now we are 100% pure ourselves. I think it's a practice. And it's good probably to think of a lot of things as practice.
Oh, yeah. And we're doing new roles all the time, right? I mean, you transition into something new and different. It's going to be practice because you might be, you know, just trying something on and learning in real time.
Right. Yeah. That's exactly right. Constantly growing. And that growth never stops, which is which is amazing. It is not about going to college and graduating from college and I learned my craft. It's just ongoing. And I think it helps with our self-discovery as well.
Yep. Life is the best teacher.
It is the best teacher. It is the best teacher. It's fun. It's beautiful. It's the best teacher. So awesome. Thank you, Christine. A great session. That made me think a lot.
Yeah, always, always great to spend time with you. So with that, listeners, we're going to sign off. Until next time.
Thank you for listening. Our hope is to spark a little joy, inspire, and educate our listeners in ways to live an even more meaningful life. If you have reactions to share from what you've heard, please visit our website, refirement.life, to leave a voice message. You may even be featured in a future episode. To keep in touch, subscribe to our podcast, Refirement Life, using the podcast player of your choice. Always remember, you are never too old to set a new goal or to dream a new dream. Thanks again for joining us on this episode. Until next time.